Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Thursday, May the 23rd, Britain and the Netherlands are the first European Union members to head to the polls, kicking off 4 days of elections to the EU Parliament. Somalia provides shelter and assistance to refugees fleeing war in Yemen. And Pope Francis tells new ambassadors accredited to the Holy See to be attentive to the poorest and respectful of legitimate diversity. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Britain and the Netherlands head to the polls today, kicking off 4 days of elections to the EU Parliament that will guide Brussels' policy for the next 5 years. Other EU nations will hold their votes between Friday and Sunday, with results announced on Sunday evening once all EU nations have voted. On Friday, voting takes place in Ireland, where the Bishop of Elphin is inviting Christians in the country to be informed in their choices and to vote for the common good. Lydia O'Kane reports.
On Friday the 24th of May, the people of Ireland will head to the ballot box in European elections. They're also being asked to vote in a referendum on the regulation of divorce. Ahead of the polls, Bishop Kevin Doran of Elphin in the west of Ireland has issued a pastoral letter in which he encourages Catholics to get out and vote and engage in the political process. Speaking to Vatican News, the bishop says in these European elections, it's important to be informed about what the candidate actually stands for.
I think the challenge for Christians is to examine what the actual policy of the party is and what the stated intentions and perhaps previous history of the candidate might be.
Despite the fact that the UK is preparing to exit the EU, it still has to vote in these European polls. Bishop Doran points out that the lack of decision-making on Brexit is having a huge impact on people in Ireland.
It's creating tremendous fears about the return of the border, which in the past was a cause of significant distress and indeed significant violence in our country. And, I suppose the British need to make up their minds whether they're actually leaving and leaving in an orderly fashion, or whether they're staying. But this business has not been, that for 2.5 years of not being able to work out whether they're coming or going is most unhelpful.
On Friday, the Irish electorate are also being asked to vote in a referendum to remove the constitutional requirement for a 4-year waiting time between the separation of a married couple and their eligibility for civil divorce. If passed, the government plans to reduce that time to 2 years. According to Bishop Doran, the original intention of the waiting time was to give couples space to seek a resolution to their difficulties rather than divorcing at the first sign of trouble. Divorce was made legal in Ireland by a slim margin following a 1995 referendum, and the bishop's concern is that the proposed constitutional change will have the effect of further weakening the social commitment to marriage. The Bishop of Elphin says that the important parallel question that needs to be asked is whether society is living up to its responsibility to prioritise the family and to provide the human supports that might help couples to resolve difficulties that arise in their relationship before their differences become irreconcilable. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
And that was Bishop Kevin Doran of Elphin in Ireland speaking there to Lydia O'Kane. In India, Prime Minister Narendra Modi scored a dramatic election victory, putting his Hindu nationalist party on course to increase its majority. His re-election reflects a global populist trend, promoting business-friendly policies and a tough stand on national security. Official data from the Election Commission showed Modi's BJP party ahead in 300 of the 542 seats up for grabs, with more than 272 seats needed for a majority in the lower house of parliament. This would give his party the first back-to-back majority for a single party since 1984. The United Nations is asking the international community to provide more support for Somalia in security, capacity building, and humanitarian and socio-economic development aid. Although Somalia is an important country in the Horn of Africa, and maintaining peace and stability is in the common interest of the region, the overall situation in Somalia remains complex and faces challenges on multiple fronts. As Archbishop Giorgio Bertin, the Apostolic Administrator of Djibouti and Mogadishu, told Vatican News, the country is also providing assistance to thousands of refugees fleeing the conflict in Yemen.
Well, the situation in Somalia is a kind of stable situation during these last 9, 8, 10 years, which means that there are institutions which are trying to be reborn, but they are not functioning. State institutions. On the other hand, we have still the so-called rebellion of the so-called Shabab, who control, most of the rural areas in central southern Somalia. And that gives a lot of insecurity. Because of that, in fact, we have a great number, probably more than 2 million, of internally displaced. They have been displaced by the drought some years back, but they are displaced particularly also by the insecurity caused by this presence of the rebellious movement called Al-Shabaab.
You're also helping refugees from Yemen at the moment, aren't you?
Well, of course, we have different kind of projects, but recently, with the help of Caritas Italiana, we have started two projects for refugees from Yemen, because we must not forget that beyond the Gulf of Aden, just in front of us, there is a terrible humanitarian situation. Probably at this moment is the most disastrous situation from a humanitarian point of view. The war in Yemen, which has been going on for 4 or 5 years. So I have the impression myself that Yemen is even more neglected than Somalia.
And that was Archbishop Giorgio Bertin, Apostolic Administrator of Djibouti and Mogadishu. In Yemen, meanwhile, hostilities continue between the Iran-aligned Houthi movement and the Saudi-led coalition, with attacks today on the airport of the Saudi city of Narjan near the Yemeni border. The Houthis, who ousted the Saudi-backed Yemeni president from power in the capital Sana'a in 2014, have stepped up missile and drone attacks on Saudi in the past 10 days in a resurgence of tactics that had largely subsided since late last year amid United Nations-led peace efforts. Meanwhile, the UN says food aid is being diverted by some corrupt and uncooperative officials in Houthi-held areas of Yemen, where millions of people are believed to be on the verge of famine. Yemen is the worst humanitarian crisis in the world currently, and some 12 million people, almost 40% of the population, are on the brink of starvation. Education for peace in a multi-religious world has become a top priority for the good of all. That's according to religious leaders from different Christian churches and faith traditions who gathered this week at Geneva's Ecumenical Center for an event that was jointly organized by the Vatican's Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue and the World Council of Churches. The event resulted in the signing of a joint document that encourages faith-based organizations to reflect on the structural roots that have led to the disruption of world peace. Robin Gomes reports.
The document entitled Education for Peace in a Multi-Religious World, A Christian Perspective, was presented by the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue, PCID, and the World Council of Churches, WCC, during a conference in Geneva on Tuesday on promoting peace together. According to the signatories, PCID Secretary Bishop Miguel Angel Ayuso Guichot and WCC Secretary General Olaf Fixe Tveit, the document is an important milestone in the ongoing commitment to strengthening ecumenical ecumenical relations through the promotion of interreligious dialogue. The conference devoted ample time to the historical document on Human Fraternity for World Peace and Living Together, signed by Pope Francis and the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar, Ahmed Al-Tayeb, in Abu Dhabi on February the 4th. Our daily experience confirms that we live in a fractured world and that polarization is increasing, Bishop Ayuso noted in a brief presentation. The ecological crisis and political, economic and social instability, he said, continue to threaten the well-being, if not the very existence of the planet. Deadly terrorism, acts of religiously motivated violence, radicalization or self-radicalization via social media, hate speech, as well as extremist preachers, missionaries and religious institutions that sow the seeds of hatred and violence are social scourges that must be addressed, he said. For this reason, the Spanish bishop said, the document is grounded in our shared conviction that education has a vital, indeed essential role to play in resolving conflicts, preventing their recurrence, healing the wounded, restoring justice, and upholding the equal dignity of all. Even though the joint PCID-WCC document is written by Christians for mainly Christians, the bishop pointed out that peace-building needs to embrace everyone. He hoped that the document will generate a broad interaction on education for peace involving followers of other religions as well as social and political actors in our multi-religious world. I'm Robin Gomes.
And finally, Pope Francis accepted the credential letters presented by 9 new ambassadors to the Holy See this morning. In his address to mark the occasion, the Pope urged their respective states to be attentive to the poorest among us and respectful of legitimate diversity. Devin Watkins reports.
The new ambassadors accredited to the Holy See represent a wide variety of nations, including Thailand, New Zealand, Guinea, Ethiopia, Norway, Sierra Leone, Guinea-Bissau, Luxembourg, and Mozambique. Pope Francis recognized the variety of positive contributions these states make to the world's common good. He also urged them to recognize the responsibility they share to protect the most vulnerable of our brothers and sisters.
L'urgente necessità di essere attenti ai più poveri dei nostri cittadini.
The pressing need to be attentive to the poorest of our fellow citizens is a solemn duty, he said, one which is eloquently expressed when, respectful of legitimate diversity, we are united in promoting their integral human development. Pope Francis said such unity is best expressed with the word fraternity, and went on to reflect on the concept's various aspects as they relate to diplomacy. In the face of complex global challenges, he said, fraternity is found in the desire for friendship between individuals, nations, and communities.
Ad assicurare che una equa e pacifica convivenza.
Striving together to ensure just and peaceful coexistence is not merely a socio-political strategy, he noted, but is an example of that solidarity which runs deeper than a mutual desire to achieve a shared goal. The Holy Father said violence and armed conflict present the greatest threats to global harmony.
Tuttavia, la dolorosa lezione della divisione.
Yet, he said, the painful lesson of division and hatred also teaches us that peace is always possible. He said conflict resolution and reconciliation are positive signs of the unity that is stronger than division and of the fraternity that is more powerful than hatred. In conclusion, Pope Francis said fraternal dialogue is indispensable in achieving peace and overcoming armed conflict. As the Pope extended his best wishes to the new ambassadors, he also assured them of his prayers, as well as the cooperation and support of all the offices of the Holy See. I'm Devin Watkins.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. My thanks goes to Adriano Vitali in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.